And I will count us down here in 3, 2, 1. It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football, and let's welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich. John, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Hope everybody is all set for their big holiday. Hope you guys have a great great Christmas, and probably a few folks even at this late date are still haven't finished their shopping, and I would throw myself at the mercy of the court. I happen to be one of them, so we'll be a little bit busy today as we get ready for the holiday.
Guilty as charged, John Telich, the late Christmas shopper. Hey, like you said, we're all guilty of it, so you know it happens. It happens. It is what it is. But hey, one thing that is, you know, what it is right now, those Cleveland Browns creeping themselves not only into the playoff discussion. I mean, that's been there, but now, you know, a divisional title is possibly back on the line here, and we'll get to that soon. But I did want to start with that win over the Giants on Sunday Night Football. JT, that was just a dominant, overpowering road victory. It was boring almost in a sense, right? Just total domination start to finish, and that's the kind of game you would like to see over an opponent like the Giants. And I thought the two 95-yard drives that they put together really kind of defined that game. So evaluate that for me if you could. What did you see in that victory, and is that the kind of performance they need to replicate moving forward?
Well, once again, it was a great job by Stefanski and company in incorporating more of what was needed as the game went on. You know, they did not have Wyatt Teller. He's a phenomenal run blocker. And then they lost Chris Hubbard in the second play. And so in comes Nick Harris. And Nick Harris is obviously a different type of a player. But the way they game planned as that game went on, you would expect them just to run at these guys and pound them into the ground. It really wasn't that. It was death by Baker Mayfield. And he threw the ball, you know, 32 times. He was surgical. He was really spectacular in that game. And what was kind of cool, too, Rocco, was that he was making his living, you know, from the pocket. And we always said, hey, got to roll him out, got to do this, got to do that. And certainly those things absolutely help him in his game. And, you know, he was making throws from the pocket, really starting to see him like some of the more elite quarterbacks in the game, getting to that second read, throwing to that second read, or the third read, and what have you. And then Stefanski, kudos to him. I mean, he designed a game plan where you've got power formations, and yet you're throwing out of them. And I don't want to get too nerdy here or too, you know, up into the weeds, if you will, about, you know, the coaching aspect of it. But his game plans every week are not the same, and that's how you a successful coach in this league, be adaptable to what you're going to be facing that week. So you lose Hubbard, and in comes Nick Harris, and I just thought it was pretty impressive by how they were able to mount those two drives, 95 yards, 13 minutes off the clock. And I think you guys know the old cliche, how good can the defense, if they're not on the field as much as some other games, well, they can be pretty good. And obviously they were very productive this week because the offense did, you know, shouldered some of that load there by dominating the clock. You know, the amount of time that they held the ball, they were pretty much, you know, a few penalties here and there, nothing major, but they played a really good game, and it was a good, boring game, and get used to it, Browns fans, because, you know, successful teams know how to win these good, boring games, but there's still a W in the book.
You mentioned Nick Harris there, and that's where I wanted to go next. I mean, Andrew Berry just flexing the muscles, I guess, with that draft pick. 160th overall in the draft, fifth-round pick out of Washington. He wasn't even playing his natural position, by the way. Just very impressed with what I saw from that young man. Is that somebody that the offense can rely on moving forward with Hubbard out the rest of this season?
Yeah, so let's just update you, too. The most recent media gathering with Coach Stefanski, he mentioned that, you know, Wyatt Teller still not practicing week to week. So I think we can pretty much almost 100% say he will not be playing this week. We know Hubbard is gone for the season. Sheldon Richardson with the neck's probably going to play. And then one other injury was Malcolm Smith has a hamstring. So kind of cleared that stuff up. But getting back to the line, it's really been an amazing collection of players led by their center and the guy who not only shoulders the load of, you know, the calls and all those types of things, but you know, the duties that he has off of the field, being the NBA president and all that's been going on this year with COVID and those issues and what have you. So he holds the fort together. And just look at a year ago. A year ago, when you had all these different people playing those positions, you had the Browns 17th in the league in pass, how the line was rated. This is, I believe, Pro Football Focus. And they were like 29th running the football. And thank God, you know, they had talent like Nick Chubb for the whole year or Kareem for the back end of that year because those guys are certainly phenomenal at yards after contact. And then this year, number one in pass, number one in run. And again, it goes back to the hiring of Bill Callahan and Stefanski being confident in his own body of work to hire guys that have been ex-NFL head coaches and are great at what they do. And it's just been really impressive, Rocco, to see how this line has been able to maneuver and what the rookie Jedrick Wills has done. I think he's getting rave reviews around the league, but he's only scratching the surface. And then, you know, Jack Conklin at right tackle. And Joel Bitonio just keeps going to Pro Bowls. So really a great collection. And Nick Harris, basically a third stringer, you alluded to when he was drafted. You know, Barry really hit out of the park this year on some of those back-end draftees, whether it's Bryant or Donovan Peoples-Jones. Boy, he really had a very, very good draft this year.
Yeah, absolutely. John Telich is our guest here on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Did quickly want to ask you about this, just, you know, from some Twitter rumblings and whatnot. Is Myles Garrett still kind of feeling some effects, you know, with the COVID-19 backlash and everything?
Yeah, in fact, he did say that he had a bit of a coughing fit in the locker room afterwards. So, you know, this is really precarious kind of territory that we're walking in. We're asking these people, these young athletes, and just assuming that they're magnificent, you know, athletes, and they're going to be, you know, bouncing right back from something that's a respiratory situation that affects the lungs, and you know, it's nothing to not to make fun of or to make light of. This is serious stuff, and he's still having issues, you know, catching his breath. You can see him sometimes when they show him, you know, in between plays and what have you. And I just don't think he's the same player as of yet. Each week it's getting better. And so, you know, I guess we can't just assume he's Superman, you know, and taking the cape off and getting in there and sacking quarterbacks. And I think that's just something to look forward to check out as the Browns and everybody in football looks forward. We have no idea what the long-term effects will be for someone that's had a serious bout. And by all indications, when Miles spoke with the media when he came back, he had a serious case of it. It was no lie. He said it's no joke. And it really threw him for a loop. So to just assume that he's going to be back in and getting a couple of sacks a game and stripping footballs from ball carriers is a bit presumptuous, but yet, you know, he's out there trying to make a living and each day trying to be better in his health. But it's something to look at as you do go forward, Rocco. I think it's really nothing to make light of.
Yeah, it is interesting how everybody assumes, you know, if athletes have to deal with that just because they are in tremendous shape, everybody assumes it's something they can just knock right off and get back from. But it's not, as we see, even top-tier athletes, I mean, they struggle with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that tells you right there how serious this is. You know, John, going, you know, maybe I just need to get off of Twitter and social media altogether, but there still seems to be a good amount of people very hesitant to buy in to this Cleveland Browns team. And you sent me some numbers here before we started talking. Six different Browns this season have three or more touchdowns. It's their seventh 10-win season in 40 years, just their seventh 10-win season in 40 years, I should say. So with just so much positive going for this team right now, you have a deeper team than maybe some thought at the beginning of the year outside of that top-heavy talent. I mean, can people really start to buy into this Browns team, or is there still a little bit of reserve there for some?
Well, obviously, they're going to be working on that defense in the offseason, Rocco, and I think everybody knows that. And it's been a very challenging year for Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator, with all people going down with injuries. Kevin Johnson, lacerated kidney, to Grant Delpit, he had the Achilles tendon gone for the year. Just so many people in and out of the defense. You lose Miles for a few games because of COVID. Denzel misses three. I don't have a stat in front of me, but boy, if you did just be able to compile what the Browns' record is when you have both Denzel and Miles playing in a game. And so, you know, they kind of three, not necessarily the exact same three that Miles missed. So one was there, the other one wasn't. And I think all those things do kind of add up. But they have a way to go on defense. But over what they have done every step along the way here, Rocco, is they have just, all right, here's an obstacle, and they hop over it. Here's another thing standing in your way to getting better, and they improve that aspect of the game. What they did with Baker this year, he was in a bit of a lull, and then, you know, the play action is kind of a godsend for him. What they did even in the most recent game, they were looking for him to roll out or to bootleg and what have you, and he made a big part of his living on Sunday night from the pocket. And so they adapt, and real good teams do that, and that's been really impressive. But what Stefanski has done this year, unifying a team that really, you know, was just physically speaking, was apart up until the summer, and to get them to play at this level this year, it's absolutely been amazing. Now, there's been one factor throughout the NFL and a lot of consternation as far as the playoffs possibilities with, hey, how can all these teams that have won 9, 10, 11 games, you know, one may not even make the playoffs? Well, it's a byproduct of our friends over in the NFC East. You can either thank them or hurl whatever object you have in your hand at them, because everybody has feasted on the NFC East this year. That's why the Browns, not necessarily just the Browns, but many teams have beefed up their win totals to the point where the Browns are, you know, even 11 wins might be sweating out, you know, if they finish with 11 wins, might be sweating out a playoff berth. But, you know, I think I said about 7-8 weeks ago, they're a year away. I still feel for really being a great, solid team. That's true. But they have kind of hopped over every obstacle as we've gone along here and have proven themselves to be very much in the conversation this year. And if things really fall in line for them in the second season, you know, we could be seeing them win a game or two. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility. And it's exciting to look forward to.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, they look like they belong right now, if nothing else, right? They finally look like they belong in the National Football League and not just getting beat up every week by whoever they're playing. So it's refreshing to see, and it's fun to see, if nothing else, as well. So you got the Jets Jets on Sunday. Not the winless Jets anymore. Finally got a win in that win column, but, you know, some of their fans seem a little upset about that. Regardless of how they feel about it, I don't think the Browns want to come into this one taking the Jets lightly. I mean, they just showed they can beat a good team. They knocked off the Rams. How do the Browns get a win on Sunday?
Yeah, I definitely feel they can win by a couple of touchdowns. In fact, we taped our Orange and Brown Countdown show in the studio yesterday with PJ and with Deke and Andre and Riz. And I think this is a two-touchdown win. I think they win. I think they'll be successful running the ball this week. Yet, I'm also certain that Stefanski will show some stuff that'll keep other people around the league, because it's a copycat league, and it's what are the other guys doing type of league. He'll show some stuff that you won't understand why it's being done, but it will come to light later on, most likely in the postseason. So, obviously, you know, Sam Darnold's not a bad quarterback, and hasn't really developed, and there's been a lot of issues because of that. But yeah, he's a decent quarterback. He's not Colt McCoy, and so, you know, Colt, if you had Colt McCoy to go up against every week, I'm sure your defense would at least be in a better position to help you win that game. So this week you've got to, you know, deal with Darnold. It's a kind of a nondescript team. It's a one win team. If the Browns don't go in to the Meadowlands on Sunday afternoon and, you know, win by at least 10 points, win by a couple of touchdowns, it won't be a travesty. It'll be a win, but they're certainly capable of going to the Meadowlands and playing a solid game and getting back on the plane and coming to town and seeing if that game in week 17 will be for the Steelers. They play on Saturday or Sunday. I can't recall, to be honest, this week. I'm not even sure. They play the Colts. And I think it's a Sunday. I don't know if it's a Saturday game or a Sunday game. I haven't.
That is a Sunday. Sunday at 1.
It's Sunday at 1. So, yep. So that, you know, they'll know Sunday when they get on the plane that, okay, the Steelers won or the Steelers lost, and by virtue of that, they'll be playing for the division title in Week 17. Wouldn't that be crazy? Oh. And more than likely, the NFL would flex that game to Sunday Night Football. Browns Steelers doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, could you imagine? Sunday Night Football for the AFC North. Are you kidding me, John Tellish? Don't tease me like that. Wow.
A lot of stuff has to get into play, but it's just it's exciting to see a team that's won. And I've covered a lot of, you know, over the past 40 years, a lot of teams that you saw in training camp that they had the makings of being an incredibly successful team, and this was one that you did not say in when they began camp that, oh, this is a playoff team for sure, and all these things, because there were so many questions. Baker coming off a horrible sophomore year, and how is he going to be in week 3? You got a rookie head coach. They've not been together. COVID, by the way, going on. It's 2020. All the stuff going on around the country. So many distractions, and then you're going to try to play NFL football. Was something wrong with you people? What's going on here? Because high schools were not really thinking about playing as much as they could, or weren't thinking, or the colleges were, you know, kind of hedging their bets. And then here's the NFL saying, oh, no, September 13th, we'll be rolling out of football, so you better be ready. And we've had a season with a few hiccups here and there with the COVID issues.
Yeah.
But through it all, you know, the Cleveland Browns have been putting a product on the field that I know not just the young fans, which is so cool to see our young fans engaged in the Browns these days, mm-hmm. but, you know, the older generations above them and the generation above that, the grandpas and the grandmas, they're engaged as well. Nothing beats, you know, Cleveland when the Cleveland Browns are playing great football.
A lot of pride in that brown and orange team up by the lake right now, that's for sure. Old generation, young generation, doesn't matter. So yep. There's a lot of heart and confidence around that Browns team right now. Hopefully able to get a win against the Jets on Sunday. And, yeah, like you said there, John, could set up a AFC North title battle week 17 against the Steelers. We'll see how things shake out. JT, I appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much. Again, wish you a happy holiday weekend to you and your family. Hope you guys have a safe, happy, fun weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, thanks, Rocco. Merry Christmas to everybody out there, and we'll talk to you next week. It could be crazy. Have a good one.